What's going on, family? Welcome to another episode of Igniting You. I'm Adrian, and I have my lovely wife, Chris, with me.
What's up?
Today, we're going to talk about our journey in waiting for God to bless us with our first house together as a couple. Yeah, that's right. We've been praying to God to bless us with a house for almost 15 years.
Teenager.
Yeah, so we're going to dive into a topic that resonates with many of us, waiting for God's blessing.
All right, so before we dive in, I'm going to start with our scripture reading. And today we're going to be reading from the book of Psalm, chapter 37, verse 7, in the New Living Translation. And it reads, "Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes."
Amen, amen. So, Darren, I'm curious, why did you choose that scripture?
Great question. This scripture stood out to me because it really reminds me that, you know, I gotta trust in God's timing. Even though I don't always agree with it, I really do believe that when you're patient and you trust God's timing, he does promise to bless those who patiently wait for him.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Very true. And for those of you guys who, you know, are in the same boat with us, you know, you think about, you know, what you've been waiting for. So what have we been waiting for? Well, since we got married, which is almost 15 years ago, we've been dreaming of owning our own home together. Now, can you believe, again, it's almost been 15 years. Now, I know some people may have waited longer than that. Some people may not have. But for us, it's almost been 15 years, the entirety of our marriage, that we've been waiting on a house to still call our own. Now, we wanted an episode like this because we want to tell our story of waiting so that when, keyword, when God does bless us with our own home, that he will get all the glory.
You know, hallelujah.
It's easy for people to say, yeah, you know, I was believing God the whole time and I knew it was going to happen. And you're like, well, you didn't say anything before. So we want to make sure we get it recorded that, no, we're not there yet, but when he does bless us, he's going to get all the glory. So do you remember, like, when we were in the car, or when we were even before, like, you know, in the wilderness time and all that kind of stuff, we had been, you know, just got married or right before marriage. I mean, how many houses did we go over or go to just to plan our life?
I don't know, countless houses. I mean, I've lost count. It's been really legit, so many homes.
Mm-hmm.
And we just don't look at any kind of house.
No,
you know?
Nah.
And when we say that we're believing God for a house, we're talking about our dream house. We're talking about, you know, 4+ bedrooms, 3+ bathrooms, 2-car garage, you know, man cave, offices and basement, third floor, all that kind of, all the bells and whistles.
Pot filler.
Yes,
I don't know why that's my thing, but I just, you know, I'm a cook and I just want a pot filler. It's just so convenient.
It was so lit. And I do remember that we found a house that had a pot filler in it.
You know,
it was a brick house. That's another thing. That's
a little slower.
So you know how you have your dream list of everything that you want in a house. You know, we got that too. And included in that, you know, they don't make brick homes anymore, but we would like our house to have some brick on it.
Well, if they do, it's going to be very, very expensive. So.
But God.
And you know, the thing is that it reminds me of, you know, our whole waiting season, honestly, reminds me of Abraham, you know? Like, Abraham waited for 25 years.
Say what?
25. So, I mean, God, I don't want us to wait for 25, but, I mean, as an example, Abraham waited for 25 years for God to fulfill that desire in his heart to have a son. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when we're believing God for this this blessing, you know, that is the Abrahamic blessing, right? That is that blessing that God promised you. You know he promised it to you. You just don't have it yet, right?
Right.
So, I mean, God took us through so much, you know, in this moment, in this journey that we've been waiting on God. And honestly, one of the heartbreaking things that we have to experience while we waited for a house is homelessness.
Can you believe that?
Right. No. I mean, go ahead.
It's just hard, you know, when I look back and think about, like, even before we went into our wilderness season and became homeless, that we were believing God actively for a house, praying and believing God and as we lost, you know, the townhouse, we were continuing to pray and believe God. And then he allowed us to go into that season of homelessness. But we never gave up.
Nope.
We just could not let it go. Even though we went through financial hardship and, you know, everything in the world was just feeling like it was working against us, we never, ever gave up on God and him fulfilling his promise to bless us with the desires of our heart.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's one of the things, too. It's like, you know, there's times where I wanted to, right? I wanted to give up because I'm like, God, you know, this ain't happening no time soon, like, or if at all, and I can't see it. And I wanted to get rid of it, but it was that thing in my spirit where
I just couldn't.
I wanted him to take it away because I was tired of being, you know, upset that we didn't have it. And so I was like, God, you know, take this away from me because this isn't going to happen, you know? But God was like, no, I'm going to keep it in you. And now it's even stronger, honestly, than it was even before. So, I mean, it's just crazy how it is. But in all that whole time, though, that we've been waiting, whether it be before the wilderness season, during the wilderness season, especially during the wilderness season, he provided so many lessons for us to learn. And even now, right now, you know, we can look back and we can see that these are valuable lessons when you're going to go into any kind of promise that God has for you, let alone a promise of your desire, you know, desired dream, right? He taught us to trust in him to provide. We didn't always trust God, you know what I mean? I remember when we first kind of got together, I had a really good job, making a lot of money. You know, I was going to church, but I didn't really trust God because I had money, right? And I can get whatever I needed. I can buy whatever I needed, right?
Never had to truly rely and be solely dependent on God.
No. But it was in that wilderness season that God taught us, like, no, I have all this. I'm in control of all this. Yes, I'm the one that gave it to you, and I'm the one that can take it away. It's almost like, you know, your old family, your daddy, say, you know, I brought you in this world, I'll take you out. You know, shout out to Cosby Show. But, you know, it's one of those things where God kind of taught us that, you know, look, don't put your trust in things. Don't put your trust in what you can do.
Yes.
Put your trust in me, and I will provide, and I will let you see what I can do. And even now, we hold on to that. We hold on to that trust, even though we don't know when it's going to happen. But the when is not replaced with an if. Mm. It used to be an if,
right?
But now it's a when, because we know it will happen because we trust in God's promise to us.
Amen.
So, I mean, when God stripped us, right? I mean, he left us with no other choice to trust him. Like, it's important to mention that God really acknowledged, though.
Yeah,
like, during that time, you know, sometimes you're going through things and you're kind of like wondering, like, God, are you even there? Are you listening to me? But I mean, how many times did God acknowledge to us that, no, I know what you want,
yeah,
right? I know that you want this house or this type of house. Yeah, I just don't want to give it to you just yet.
Right.
Not
only does he promises us in his word that he will fulfill the desires of our heart, Psalm 37:4.
Mm-hmm.
But he also has a way of conveying that message to us. That's why prophetic ministry is so critical. That's why being in tune with the Holy Spirit for yourself is so critical. And being reminded of God's promises just through the word, it really helped us to understand that it's not an if, it mm-hmm. is a when, because mm-hmm. in his word, he promised to bring us into the desires of our own hearts.
Yeah. I mean, doesn't the word say, you know, God, you know, God's, his promises are yes and amen, right? So it's not about an if, it's not about I wonder, you know, it's a win for us. Now, some of you guys out there may be wondering, like, well, why don't you have a house? Because, you know, we got good jobs, credit is really good, you know, thank Jesus. But what are some of the roadblocks that we face, like, during this time, right? So we're going to go over a few that some of you all maybe going through right now. Some of you may be like, oh, man, yeah, that happened to me. So we're going to go through a little bit, right? So the first roadblock to us getting a house, honestly, was when I bought my house, you know, before me and Chris got together, and we ended up losing the house that I purchased, you know, back in 2004 to foreclosure. And, you know, that happened during the crisis back in the late 2000s or early 2000s, whatever. And it was an awful time, not only to, you know, lose a house, well, obviously we lost jobs and all that kind of stuff with us. And going through that foreclosure and having that stain kind of on your credit report, I mean, that was like a scarlet letter, you know?
I remember we were trying to sell that townhouse, and we tried to sell it to We Buy Ugly Homes.
Oh, yeah.
Not that the townhouse is ugly, but they wouldn't, you know, buy it for the amount that we needed to cover. And that was a huge obstacle. One of many.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, so then, you know, we go through the foreclosure, you know, but, you know, we were blessed and favored to be able to get an apartment. But then we couldn't get jobs. And then we ended up losing that too. You know, we became homeless, right? We became homeless for a while. And you know, for those of you guys who have never experienced homelessness before, I mean, it completely strips you, right? And you don't have not nearly the things that you're just used to having, right? You're used to having a roof over your head, used to having, you know, a place that you can come back to, you can relax, you know, you got something to kind of hold on to, right? But when you're homeless, you're just out there, right? You don't have the stability to be able to accumulate anything, you know, everything you have, you know, you take with you. And that's kind of where we were too. So, you know, when we became homeless, like we had to start over from like scratch, like less than scratch, you know? And that was hard too, you know? But God. And you know, we went through the whole season, but we were able to come out of it and got back on our feet, and we got stable jobs. And, you know, of course, you know, again, this dream had never left us, right? And so as soon as we got stable jobs and we were in an apartment and we felt good about where we were, guess what we started doing? We started going and trying to get a mortgage, right? Trying to, you know, we attend the first-time homebuyer classes and applying for grants and you name it.
Yeah.
You name it. That's what we were doing, right? But then, you know, I mean, one of the things that we also did in our time was go back to school because we saw, hey, you know, we need to have a little bit more education if we want to make some real money. And so we went back to school and got our, you know, graduate degrees, masters and things like that. Little did we know, though, the student loan debt that we were taking out would come back and kind of bite us in the butt, too.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then all of a sudden now that debt becomes a burden on us as well. So when we're looking at, you know, debt to income ratio and all that kind of stuff, now they're adding that stuff too. And all of a sudden now our debt is way more than our income.
Shout out to everybody who's had their student loans forgiven.
Oh my gosh.
We praise God for y'all.
Clap for you. Yeah.
Our loans have yet to be forgiven, but God.
Yes. But God. And clearly you're gonna see that as a theme. But God. Now, this last one, you know, this next one kind of, it's a lesson that I went through as a young person, and I hope, and I teach it to a lot of my students, and I hope that no one ever goes through this, okay? So when, before, you know, I met my lovely wife, right? I was dating a young lady, and she was in school, and we decided, you know, she needed a loan, right, to go to school. And I was making pretty good money at the moment, at the time. And she asked, though, if I could co-sign a loan for her. Now, I know some of you guys are like, oh, I didn't know this stuff, right? I didn't know anything about co-signing. I didn't know anything about economics and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I want to help her out. So I said, okay, sure, co-sign the loan. Now, little did I know how much I was co-signing for. And long story short, those loans, you know, for those of you guys who know or don't know, those loans are now on my credit report. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if we move on. It doesn't matter what. Those loans are still on there until it's paid off or transferred somewhere. And that was a major roadblock for us, too, having that extra loan out there. Because we already had our own student loans to contend with. But having someone else's loan, all of a sudden now, that's a huge roadblock, too. And even one of the people we had talked about, right? Like, we'll talk to, right? He said, well, if you didn't have this one loan, I'll be able to approve you. And I was like, man, are you serious? Like, this one thing is preventing us from getting a house?
Yep.
But, again, but God. But God. So, you know, thankfully, thankfully, though, those loans, I don't even know exactly how it happened, but, God. But those loans were clear. So it's like, oh, okay, great. Now we can get a mortgage. Not so fast, our friend. You know, to quote the famous Lee Corso from ESPN, not so fast, my friend.
Well, I do want to back up because before those loans got erased from your credit, I do remember that we did get approved.
Right, we did. Yeah,
it was actually on October the 10th, mm-hmm. 2018.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And man, I wonder what else happened that day.
That's an oddly strange, specific day to mention, right?
Right. So for you guys who don't know, October 10th, 2018, Adrian suffered a cardiac arrest. So needless to say, that pumped the brakes for us on getting a house. Again.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So we can fast forward a little bit from there. Yeah. Let's fast forward to about 2020, 2021, where everybody was getting a house. You get a house.
Like, oh.
We tried again, because, the mortgage rates were super low. So we were like, okay, we got a little bit of money. We just had a baby, but we all right.
Mm-hmm. You're good.
Yeah, that the co-sign loans. Yeah, so I wanted to go back a little bit because it seems like every time we felt like we were catching a break, there was always something that was in the way. We literally got our credit into the excellent category.
Now, hold on. Now, that's the thing, too. I need to understand. We went from being homeless, foreclosure, not having any job for a very, very long time. And they go from that to having excellent credit and still can't get a house
because of student loans. Congress,
it's like come on Uncle Joe, you gotta help me out Uncle Joe.
Student loans, okay?
But the thing about it though is I laugh at it right now, just because it is what it is. We have faith in God and trust God that he's gonna provide, but in the moment though, man, it hurt because we just seemed like we were always so close to getting this one thing and something will always get in the way, right? So here we are now. It is November 2023 and we are still waiting on God for a literal miracle in order for us to have that American dream of home ownership, But the thing about it though is ultimately we understand that God is having us wait so that he can get all the glory for this tremendous blessing. Amen. He is going to bestow upon us this. We talked about at the very beginning how we were trusting our own selves, right? We were masters of our own destiny. We had the money to get all this and all that, right? But what God has done over these years is he's allowed us and taught us to really trust him to wait patiently for his promise, because ultimately it is a promise and God is not a liar, right? And so in all the waiting, we really have to remember, though. I know we are kind of heartbroken about things, and we really don't. Sometimes we don't understand things. Sometimes we are hurt by things or whatever. But ultimately, though, in all the waiting, we have to remember what God has done for us. God has blessed us so much and has provided for us so much. We have great, great jobs. We have great cars. We've never been without anymore. We have a daughter who's beautiful and lovely. We have all these different things that God has blessed us with. We have a beautiful rental home, that many people, including us, we're grateful for,
Yes, we are.
But at the same time, though, we're grateful for it, but we have never lost that passion, that hope, that desire, that faith we have in getting our own home. And so my biggest takeaway from all this that I want you guys to take away from it is no matter what you do, draw that circle around what you really believe God for. Because there's going to be other things that's going to necessarily, try to maybe take you away from that circle. But draw that circle around what God has called you, to promise you. And I promise with patience and trust and faith, you're going to get it.
Yeah.
We haven't gotten there yet, but trust, our dream and your dream is on the way.
Amen. All right. So that brings us to the end of another fantastic episode. It was amazing. It felt really good to get that off. can collectively say, because it's been bubbling up and it just really felt good to talk about this. And we do hope that you guys is both engaging and informative, and that you can take some nuggets of wisdom away. We do want to take a moment to express our gratitude to all our listeners out there. Your support for our podcast truly means the world to us, and we just cannot do it without you guys. So don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platforms so you don't miss an episode. And if you have any questions, comments, or topics that you want us to cover in the future, email us, podcast@igniting.org. We would love to hear from you.
And also, shout out to my man Lando P for the theme music. He hooked us up with it. So shout out Lando P, stream him. Give him some love.
Lando P.
So I want to leave you guys with a few thoughts that I had that God has placed on my heart. You know, waiting is one of the ultimate measures of faith. I mean, you think about it. We wait in line to get fast food. We wait at the doctor's office to get treated. We wait for the love of our lives, right? Every time we wait, we're showing that we have faith in whatever it is that we desire. But we have this expectation, and it is unwavering, right? Until a point. When we wait, though, we are showing humility as well. We're giving our time to a person or cause that we deem greater than whatever it is that we got going on in the moment. But what happens, though? What happens when we get tired of waiting? What happens when our patience is run out? Do we just regret the decision, wondering if maybe just wait a little bit longer, maybe it could have happened, right? What do we do? Well, the Bible tells us that those who wait on the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. So there used to be an old Heinz ketchup commercial back in the 80s that stated, "The best things come to those who wait." I mean, have you ever heard someone say, "Man, I'm glad I rushed through that project. Man, I do my best time, I do my best work at the last minute." Some people say that, but usually is that true? Probably not. But waiting on the best shows wisdom and discernment. Waiting shows humility. Waiting shows that you are a person that looks toward the future with optimism and anticipation. Are you tired? Good. Do you feel like giving up? Great. Have you lost patience to the point where you're tired of being tired? Awesome. You know why I say all this? Because you're so close to your breakthrough. Trust and believe your patience will be rewarded. God sees your patient heart and rewards you for trusting in Him. I mean, where would we be if Abraham and Sarah just gave up, right? What if Hannah never had faith in having a child? Victory is bestowed on those who have a vision and are not afraid to wait for their appointed time. Let us be victors today. Let us show that we are mature enough in our walk to wait for the best things to come our way. With all that being said, I want to close us out in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for the season of waiting. Father, we naturally don't like to wait on anything, especially now in this microwave society. But Father God, we understand that the great things come to those who wait. But Abraham and Sarah had to wait for 25 years for their son to be born, Lord God. That was the blessing that you provided. That was the beginning of the descendants that would outnumber the stars and the sand. Father God, when we wait, Lord God, we're showing that we truly have faith and trust in you to provide, not on our own hands. Now, Lord God, we understand that waiting goes against our flesh, and sometimes we want to take a shortcut. Sometimes we want to do things, Lord God, to make things happen. But we understand, Lord God, that it is by your Spirit that gives us that peace to be able to wait patiently. And we know, Lord God, that when we do wait patiently, you will bless us with a greater blessing than we ever could have imagined. So, Lord God, in this moment, we want to thank you for blessing us in our waiting season. And we thank you, Lord God, in advance for the blessing that is to come. We pray, Lord God, for all those that are listening under the sound of my voice, that you will bless them and give them the heart to be able to wait on you patiently. Give them the blessing in their mind and their heart and their soul to know that you are coming. Just got to wait a little bit longer. We thank you, Lord God, for everything you've done and everything you will continue to do in all of our lives. And it is in your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for spending time with us. Until next time, peace.